Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's dumbest podcast network. Welcome to We Have No Strong Feelings About Harry Potter. I'm Demi.
I'm Tom.
And we're currently reviewing? Is that what we do?
I wouldn't say it's reviewing because I guess it is. But the whole thing would be like, I don't know, 2 stars for this one as well.
I still don't care.
Yeah.
We are recapping Chamber of Secrets, 56 minutes and 24 seconds to 1 hour and 6 minutes and 29 seconds.
That's right. We're past the 1 hour mark, which is, of course, where the numbering can see.
1 hour.
1 hour.
60 minutes.
We're going Broadway, gang.
Sorry, there was another Vuvuzela just after that, babe.
My bad.
It was just one more. It was an. There was another air horn.
It's important to start the podcast as obnoxiously as possible. Ideally, the listenership numbers should be indicative of someone going on a big ski jump. Missing the jump at the bottom and just careening on down. So no pickup towards the end.
They somehow got 3 broken legs.
Yeah. I mean, I freaking know how. Guy turned up to the slopes hung.
You fucking grow a fucking leg on that jump because you barred up so bad, dude.
That fucking thing in ski pants looks like he put a. It looks like he put a puppy in a sleeping bag. It's trying to get out of there with that speed.
I don't know how that fucking thing is because like ski pants should hide it a bit more, but it fucking doesn't.
No,
a big old fucking thing.
Oh my god. Yeah, when he gets up speed real fast, looks like he's got a tail that's getting blown back through his legs.
Looks like he's got a fucking tail. Looks like his dick is Naruto running. He's got 2 arms coming off of him. What the fuck goddamn, dude?
This guy looking like a packing. Okay, wait. I see you got three poles. Wait, that's not a pole that's between his legs.
Oh my goodness.
I'm going to need some slow motion on that. And I'm also going to need that forwarded to me and my residence.
Hey, I'm going to need some slow motion on that. And I'm going to need some fast lotion on that.
Yeah.
I'm going to fit it in.
I'm going to need that to start off slow motion and then go into mid motion. And then maybe if I'm very good, fast motion.
Well, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think that's never going to happen.
If I ever go fast motion with that thing, it's going to carve me out.
It's going to carve you out, baby. It's going to come out your eye.
Did I ever tell you?
Oh,
this
God.
This is some of the worst shit. In my, like, so I
said, can you understand how horrified I am that you're bringing a story up after I said the thing's going to come out of your eye?
Yeah, and I know, but okay. Let me reassure you that this is, anyway.
Just as bad as I think it's going to be?
Yeah, genuinely it is. But this is, you know how I, like, look up a lot of sex doll stuff because I find the men who own them and the community that is around them very funny.
Yeah, you find it funny and that's why you look it up, yeah.
Okay, good. And that's still holding as a reason. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you find if you spend a bit of time looking at this stuff is that one of the things people like to do with sex dolls is pay male porn stars to fuck them. And then the male porn star will just kind of have, you know, go crazy on this doll But the thing about dolls is that they're not made for oral sex, really, to start off with. And they're definitely not made for oral sex with a gigantic dong. So basically, when a guy with an actual huge porn dick starts trying to face fuck this doll, its eyes just start bulging all over the place.
No way!
Because there's no real estate in the head. So it
so
starts
the
going.
Eyes just
the eyes start like popping up out of the head.
Jesus Christ. It like starts looking like a chihuahua. Physics.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. You're suddenly fucking Ren and no Stimpy. Yeah.
Anyway, you understand why I had to tell you that.
Oh, yeah, I did need to hear that, and I thank you for it. And I applaud you, and you're so brave.
Thank you so much. And anyway, we're watching this children's movie.
Anyway, we enter Madame Pomfrey's, I can't think of the word.
Infirmary.
Not
Mr. Malfoy, stop making such a fuss.
Is it infirmary or is it like a hospital wing?
She doesn't have a hospital, so that would prevent her from being a hospital wing.
No, but the hospital wing of the castle. The wing is the hospital part of the castle.
I think it's still an infirmary, because a hospital to me would need much more developed staff.
I feel like they don't call it the infirmary, though. I feel like they either always say, take them to Madame Pomfrey or take them to the hospital wing.
I have just Googled Hogwarts infirmary, and wouldn't you know it, Demi? The hospital wing is a part of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry.
Avangure. So, we open on the hospital wing. Uh-huh. Draco is moaning. Madame Pomfrey sort of brusquely walks in and says, stop making such a fuss, Mr. Malfoy. You can go.
He hasn't been doing much. Because his one injury was that he got fucked up by, hitting a beam or something.
Yeah, well,
he had a Quidditch-related injury.
He landed on his butthole. He landed on his rear rump.
Yeah, and now he's making a big deal of it. And again, Demi, if we're going to just vape while we record, maybe wait until all the vape is out of your mouth before you start talking. Because you can tell when you're talking like through the, he's talking.
I sucked off a cloud.
Yeah, exactly.
Clown.
No, you'd never do that.
Never do that.
Disgusting.
So we open. Malfoy is moaning and groaning. Madame Pomfrey tells him basically get a fuck out of here. She's sort of moaning a bit herself about how Harry should have come straight to her, which I suppose he probably would have if Lockhart hadn't turned his arm to jelly.
Yes.
She's saying that she can fix bones in with the flick of a wrist, but regrowing them is she really doesn't butter it up. She's like, it's going to be painful.
Yeah.
You're in for a rough night, Potter.
Cut to Harry experiencing absolutely no pain, sound asleep in bed.
Yeah, which is fun.
And I understand that. I'm glad that they didn't show the boy in pain.
Yeah.
But also it would have been.
Right, really quickly, you skipped ahead a little bit, and I just wanted to say he sips the Skelligro as a bottle.
Which is in like a, I would describe this as the $35 bottle of tequila that you buy when you're 18. It's like a novelty skeleton bottle.
Yeah.
And it's called, of course, Skelligro with a hyphen in there, so you understand. I don't know. Is it a pun? Because Skeleton is a thing. Skelligro is
maybe it's
not
like anti-comedy.
Yeah. You know? I like it actually now, and I'm smarter for liking it.
I think it's funny too. So I wanted to say that when he sips it, obviously it tastes like shit, and he like spits it out.
Yeah.
And Madame Pomfrey says, well, what do you expect? Pumpkin juice? Mm. And I was just thinking, pumpkin juice tastes like shit. So I don't know why that is your, like, that is just one of the things. They're like, ooh, we're wizards and we drink the juice from a pumpkin, which is like not, it's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, everyone sit down for a lovely dinner of fried bat. Like all of their dinners are spooky. The thing that I think here, these wizards are British. Uh-huh. By being magical and British, They've ascended to a level of ultra British.
Yes.
So even though they are capable of having, in the same way that Britain, with its awful empire, had access to all the spices of the world and still ended up with the worst possible food.
Yeah. And also they're like constantly pranking themselves with their sweets as well. Like they've got Bertie Bott's Every Flavor Beans, and they're like, oh, is this going to be lime or frog cum?
Scandal at the Bertie Bott's Every Favorite Beans factory, as it's been found out that 10% of all the beans were Bertie Bott's flavored. The CEO has been accused of slipping his own flavor into the beans.
He's a frog.
Yeah.
So basically, Harry is sleeping.
Yeah.
He's having kind of a nightmare, I guess. He's hearing the voice that that has been permeating his brain from around the castle. It's saying, kill, kill. Which, again, it's like not a great argument from the voice in the castle. I just don't think it's not actually convincing or anything. It's not like charming. It's not like Trump. It's not like saying, no, hey, I've got silly hair. Touch it.
Yeah. I think it is funny, though, because at this point you're still like, is this a voice trying to influence Harry? And what we eventually find out is that just this is the inner monologue of a big snake. Spoilers for the movie. But I think it is very funny to picture this big snake just going around Hogwarts being like, okay, now remember, kill.
Kill,
and
kill.
Kill, and maim and torture and stare.
And hurt and kill. Okay,
yeah.
Blood.
Using its tail to pull out its little bullet journal and just seeing that there's kill in there still and be like, oh, man, I thought I was getting more done.
I just thought I would remember, so I didn't, like, I wasn't looking at it, but I guess.
And when's this from? This is from, oh, fuck, this is from last Wednesday. I haven't been using this thing. And that's why I haven't been killing recently.
Yeah. And are you imagining as well that the snake sort of has like a fold in its body? So it's got its head, it's like this, and then it comes out here and it's got like a fold in its body that's holding one corner of the journal in and the very tip of its tail is holding the pen and kind of tapping along the things it was supposed to do.
Yeah. And it's like,
oh, good.
Okay,
that's what I was imagining.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess all these carry over to the next day.
Yeah. A little triangle
kill,
in there.
Kill,
kill, kill.
Okay. Anyway, if I was in the walls, what I would be thinking is crawl. And maybe
crawl.
If it was thinking that, it'd get around the fucking, you know, it's focusing on the long term too much.
Yeah.
Rather than focusing on its current problems, which is like, get out of the walls.
Yeah, yes, yes. Crawl, crawl, wall, wall. And
what
then
was,
from that,
yeah. What
out
if it was
the
just,
wall.
What if its inner monologue was just, I'm a big snake from the Chamber of Secrets.
I'm a big snake and I love to bite and do all of my crawling at night. That's what the snake thinks.
I look real scary and I look real bad. One is a noun and one is a verb. Yeah.
I love the non-rhyme as a song tool. So basically we're Harry's having a dream. He sort of wakes up and then all we get is a big Dobby face saying, hello.
You
chuckled a lot. Yeah.
I found this really great.
It's very funny because it's a non-joke, but it is so funny.
The framing of Dobby as he says hello is just perfect.
He's got the biggest eyes of all time.
Hello.
But he's, hello. Just right up in his face.
Yeah.
So it's just hello as a and it's so loud and he's talking to someone who just woke up from a nightmare very obviously as well.
Yeah, someone who also just woke up from the audience's perspective of just being told to kill, kill.
Yeah. So,
Dobby's here. Our old friend Dobby who we forgot about because it's been about 40 minutes or, you know, 45
about
minutes.
About 40
since
minutes,
we last
I suppose, yeah.
Person.
Maybe a little bit more, not sure. But so Dobby, one thing that I always mean to bring up that I never bring up is Dobby has this wonderful little Guy Fieri on his chin.
You know what? It's been, and I'm so sorry, Demi, but it's been almost, at this stage it has been
about 50 minutes?
Almost 50 minutes.
Yeah.
I just checked our previous episode notes.
So, because Dobby shows up like almost right at the very beginning of this film. Film, not movie.
I'm sorry, what were you saying? About his chin.
That Dobby has a little Guy Fieri on his chin. Have you
really?
Not seen the whisper? Yeah, look at a Dobby, but they might have taken it away is one thing in the later movies.
Oh, boy, I need to turn my safe search on.
So look at
Dobby,
a Dobby.
Chamber of Secrets.
Chamber of Secrets. Yeah, he's got a little Guy Fieri.
Okay.
And it's rubbish. It's rubbish to see.
Oh, interesting.
You seeing it?
Yeah.
It's bad.
That is interesting.
It's not good, is it?
What take were they taking there?
I don't know. I think just that he's yucky and like really, really old and I don't know because it's so wispy. Like it's still basically like because he doesn't really have a chin, it's like a flavor saver, but it like a little, what are they called? Like
I hate
a
that term.
What is this thing?
I hate that term.
What is
so
the
much.
Shannon Knoll thing called? It's a soul patch. Yeah. So he's got a soul patch, but it is also hanging. So it's not like a goatee. It's just like a tiny spiky soul patch that is off of his chin, and it sucks.
I'm looking at a thing right now, which is a comparison between Dobby in Chamber of Secrets and Dobby in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Did they make him a lot cuter?
They really... Okay, so here's him in Chamber of Secrets
disgusting,
from the start of the
yes.
film.
Disgusting. Yeah,
very upset to look at. Very wrinkly. And then here's him in Deathly Hallows, and they've smoothed him the fuck out. It's like
that
they put a Snapchat baby filter on him.
I never, ever would have... like, and I've seen these movies a ton of a heck of a lot.
Yeah.
And I never would have... They smoothed him out so much.
They made him hot.
They did make him hot. I want to fuck this Dobby. Yeah. More than I wanted to fuck the first one, which was a lot too.
Yeah. They've gone out of their way to smooth him out, and he now looks like a little boy.
He doesn't look old anymore. Why did they give him such a glow up? It makes no sense.
Yeah, they gave him the old Tara Reid American Pie 2 treatment.
I guess because they're like, oh no, now we love Dobby, and before he was just kind of annoying, but now it's like.
I think that maybe it was that the CGI of the time could only generate an ugly thing. They hadn't progressed to hot technology yet, and then finally when they. When they unlock the ability to render out something without fucking wrinkles, they're like, oh, finally, okay, we've got 20-something Dobby on lock.
It's like the opposite, though, because he looks like he's from Toy Story 1.
Mm.
Like
he doesn't look better in the later movies.
I don't get why they smoothed him.
Mm.
But I like now looking at it, I'm like, yeah, he was way smoother, but I don't like.
Do you think it's because Dobby, when freed, was like, all right, well, now Dobby can use his magic for Dobby.
Yeah.
First things first, big naturals.
Tight pussy.
And now let's make this thing squat. And then after a while, he was like, okay, now just for my natural look.
Yeah.
Flat chested and smooth skinned.
You know what? I think it's the opposite. I think when he got freed, he knew that he didn't have to put on all of that terrible old age makeup. So this is him just natural.
Yeah, yeah, right. Honestly, he looks like he's not wearing makeup. So we find out that Harry Potter should have listened to Dobby. Dobby stopped the barrier from letting them through at the station, and he also tried to get a bludger to kill Harry.
No, he didn't. Well, no, maim him. Maim. Yeah. He would never try and kill Harry Potter. Maim him in his body and head.
The thing that jumps out to me in this conversation is a moment that gave both of us pause, and it is when Dobby, who is a house elf and a sympathetic character, reveals that after he cursed the bludger and also did that thing to the gate at the platform, he had to iron his hands, and he holds out his bloody bandaged hands.
Yes.
And it's so fucked up.
Very, very upsetting. And also, you know that he had to, like, source a muggle iron because they don't need those. He's just accruing torture devices for himself.
Yeah. Dobby doing that thing where in Dexter he unfolds all the like the scalpels and shit, but it's huge because it's like a fucking an iron, toaster oven.
It's like a
jackhammer for his little dick.
Yeah, it's a tractor tire size like little case of torture for himself. But so Dobby reveals something about the Chamber of Secrets that he wasn't supposed to because he is, you know, he kind of has his family. What are these rabbit ears?
Rabbit ears, scare quotes.
Is the Malfoys.
Yes.
And so he has some inside information.
Do we know that yet?
I don't know. No, we don't. We don't, do we? So but we do find out that he gets death threats 10 times a day at home.
Five times a day.
Five times. I'm so sorry. Five times a bi-daily.
Yeah.
And so we know that his family sucks and they have something to do with, you know, the
also,
duck.
If you're giving him death threats five times a day, they're probably getting boring at that point.
Yeah.
At that point, you're like, I don't believe you.
Yeah. I'm not going to. That's not even scary.
If I was Dobby, I'd be grabbing the wand and pointing it to my temple and going, shoot Dobby. Go ahead, shoot Dobby. Do it, coward. Do it, fucking do it. Shoot Dobby. Shoot Dobby. You won't. You're not a man. You're not a man. You're nothing.
What if, so the next thing that we kind of hear him say, he's like, why do you wear that thing, Dobby? Because he's blowing his nose into his little
pillowcase.
What if Dobby turned to him and was like, I shot a kid. He had a ray gun.
Die Hard style.
It was dark, looked real enough.
He had a plastic wand. I was an Auror, Harry. Don't let the name fool you. We're just like your Muggle cops. Oh, man. Yeah, that is a weird moment where Harry's like, why did you wear that thing?
And yeah.
Like, well, don't you think it looks good?
You know, in the academy, they can teach you everything except how to live with a mistake.
I think that he's wearing it because it looks good.
I think he loves it. Like, it's like what when Kanye tried to sell, like, dirty T-shirts and shit.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah, evidence of a personality disorder.
So
we get it. Harry grabs him by his pillowcase after Dobby starts hitting himself with a Skelly-Grow bottle after he reveals the information.
What was the information?
The information was just that the Chamber of Secrets has opened before. He said that it is happening again. Happening again?
That's it. So what I was thinking is when he's bashing his skull in with the bottle of Skelly-Grow, I was like, man, imagine if it made his skull immense and very, very vast. That,
because I was like, man, if this breaks, we're in for a world of Dobby.
Oh, my God. There's a big old fucking world of Dobby there.
Already we're dealing with a big head here.
Oh, yeah, and that big head's going to have a fucking ecosystem attached to it
eventually.
Welcome
to Funko Dobby, because if this...
Dobby needs a fucking postcode, baby.
Let's take a break here.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
All right, and we're back.
Okay, and so basically Harry is grabbing Dobby by the scruff of his pillowcase. He's trying to
command control of the neck and thereby control of the Dobby. He's kind of enacting an interesting form of martial art where he's establishing kind of a judo-esque control of the collar. But with this, he's going for like an under thing. And in this position, he really wants to get another hand around. He's only relying on the one hand. And even though it's his dominant hand, it's like, what are you doing here? Because in this position, you could obviously go for a throw, or you could just push your grip advantage and maybe go for an underhook or get the other hand in there to fight off their grip fighting. And then using that, you can pull them into a advantageous position for you and go for an ippon or just take the fight to the ground. I mean, if you really swing for the fences, you can go for an Ezekiel choke, I believe. That's what it's called.
So are you like mining for respect here, or is it a breakup, which you sort of looking for?
I feel like, you know how in strategy games, sometimes you get to take a choice that ups one score while lowering another? I feel like I just upped my score with one person listening to the podcast while lowering my score drastically with you. A single podcast listener was like, wow, cool. Anyway. Let's move on.
Oh, my God.
Dobby clicks and he disappears.
Yeah. And then we
hear
seems
like an affect, to be honest.
He loves doing that
it
shit.
It seems like he could have just done it without the click.
He could, like, yeah, I don't think, like, that's not you. You don't have two ones in your fucking fingy bones.
Yeah.
So we hear some commotion. People are kind of approaching from the outside of the hospital.
Yeah, and who is it but Dumbledore, McGonagall, and the rest.
And two rando wizzies we've never fucking seen before.
One of the interesting things I've found about the Harry Potter Wikia is that sometimes the people who are listed are clearly extras who appear in multiple movies because, you know, it's nice to have people appear in multiple things.
They've probably been mentioned in the books as well or some shit.
Well, and this is the interesting thing, Demi. They haven't really been mentioned in the books because they're people like Wizard in Brown or like these are people who are cast as extras in, say, the teaching staff or whatever and recur throughout the movies.
Yeah.
But don't recur, like, never have lines.
Like these, so these two, you think they are like teachers of like fucking like muggle studies and like,
yeah, maybe one of them is the lone mathematician at Hogwarts who has to explain what the fucking base 12 or whatever of the sickle system is.
But so they bring in a petrified Colin Creevy who has he's completely stiff and he has his camera up to his face.
Geez, it's good. It's nice to see that as a retro thing, because if it was now, he'd have his freaking phone up to his face, these millennials.
Would you have it up to your face, or would you just sort of have it out in front of your tongue?
You famously know that I check mine right up to my face, so yeah. I can pretend that I'm flying through Twitter. Whiz. I scroll through Twitter really fast, so I feel like I'm falling. falling down a well with the world's worst opinions written on the sides.
Like claw marks and bloody fingernail scrapes.
Yeah. Oh, no, madness has been here before. Yeah, just, and madness will be here again.
Just bloody carved out drump. So they bring in Colin Creevy. He's petrified. McGonagall's like, mate, perhaps he photographed his attacker.
Yeah.
Dumbledore opens the camera and kind of the film like disintegrates into smoke.
Which is like, okay, so is that, does that mean that the attacker was very powerful, or does that mean that that's what happens whenever someone tries to take Colin's work without his permission?
Does that
because
mean,
honestly, I do stan a freelance king.
Well, it's like you're going to fucking ruin the film anyway if you expose it to light like that with a camera. So I think Dumbledore, that's like the one thing that he doesn't know about. And he's like, oh, man, I made all these 12 uses of dragon blood and the fuck up on the art degree.
Yes. And speaking of exposing things to light, I mean, Dumbledore's looking to just get Colin's work here. And it's not like Colin wants to work for exposure.
Yeah.
So maybe if he just put a few, I don't know, Gringotts things in Colin's account before he opened that, it wouldn't have
Gringotts gone south. Things. Is that what you think the dollars are called?
Who cares?
Is that what you think though, Tom? I would love to know.
Sickles, like, nuts, and galleons.
Mm. So I'd probably say galleons.
If I could forget that, I would love that so much.
But you said Gringotts things.
Gringotts things. Commonwealth Bank points. That's all I'm going to refer to Australian dollars now.
Dolomite insurance. That's just for the Australians that had a bank account when they were five.
20 Dolomite units.
Yeah. So two rando wizzies we got. He opens the thing and then it's like, what does this mean, Albus? Basically, he says it means that our students are in terrible danger.
The Chamber of Secrets has been opened again.
He's old as fuck. This is, of course, I believe, the last movie where we see original Dumby.
That's right. In between these, this movie and the next movie, he dies.
Yeah.
And gets replaced. In the hospital, he was like, you mustn't recast my role. And then died. And it's like, oh.
So. We see that. Then we hear a conversation that is happening between the Fabulous Three.
Yes.
Hermione, Ron, and Harry. They are in the girls' lavatory. We we find out. You can kind of tell. But yeah. Hermione's doing all the work on the Polyjuice potion that she's sitting on the floor. She's just – and you know what? For a potion that is incredibly hard to make, she's kind of just chucking shit in willy-nilly, not even using like a tablespoon amount or
anything.
She's
really freestyling it. I don't know if the hard-to-make stuff happened in the month leading up to this and now she's just chucking in the jerkies that she spent the month
making. Well, now she's just adding cumin so that it doesn't suck when they put it in their gobs.
Yeah, now she's actually doing a procedure that takes the carbs out of it so it won't interfere with the shredding that Ron's going through.
Yeah, Ron is shredding. He's eating a lot of sweet potato. He's having a porridge, but he's only sort of putting slices of banana in there, you know, because afterwards he's only going to have greens for the rest of the day, you know.
What I've got written down here is they're in the toilets with a Bunsen burner and a cauldron. Hermione is doing breaking awful. And that's a fun Breaking Bad pun.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Thank you.
I liked that, actually.
Why aren't they in the stalls? Because they could be, I guess. But
why
then
would they
that's
be?
Answered immediately by the fact that nobody...
I thought you were asking me. I was going to say, we both watched the movie Dipshit. It's like they literally explain it
anyway,
right after that.
Well, good,
stupid.
Because I was leading. We find that out because nobody...
Good save, Tom.
Nobody goes into those toilets anyway because of Moaning Myrtle.
Who's Moaning Myrtle?
Moaning Myrtle.
I'm Moaning Myrtle.
Oh, my God. What the fuck?
But also she does.
No. What? How have you hid that impression for this long?
It's literally just Naomi Higgins.
I'm stressed. I'm Moaning Myrtle.
Say I live in a toilet.
I live in a toilet.
Ah, holy shit. Holy shit.
Moaning Myrtle has that thing, though, that when she says, so this is a thing that...
I haven't recovered. I'm sorry. Oh, my God.
The thing that some English people have when they say the letter T, but it comes out as like a CK. So my mum does this sometimes. So she doesn't say Myrtle. She says Myrtle. You know what I mean? It kind of sounds like a CK.
I mean, now is Myrtle. A terrible time to come out as a CK. You really want to keep that under your hat.
Ah, Louis C.K.
Oh, do not speak his name.
I'm going to go say it three times in the mirror.
No.
He's going to be jerking off
he's
on my back.
Up, yeah.
Moaning Myrtle makes a big scene.
I have some facts about Moaning Myrtle.
Oh, great.
Here's one of them. Yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you? Is that how you want to speak to me?
Oh, great.
Okay. Moaning Myrtle has anime voice. Yeah, that's one of the things that I have. That's just a subjective fact. But an objective fact is that Moaning Myrtle is the oldest actor to ever portray a Hogwarts student. Because at the time of this filming, she was 37 years old.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, she is a ghost, so you can't see like any wrinkles or anything. Like she's just transparent. But also this woman, can you remind me of the actress's name?
Yeah, sure. I'll just look it up.
You had it before. It was a Katie something. Maybe not.
The name of the actor is Shirley Henderson.
Shirley Henderson. So she's in a couple.
Scottish.
Scottish. I only remember her from, I remember seeing her in Bridget Jones's Diary and being like, that is the highest voice I've ever heard on a human being.
Yes.
That's kind of all that I really knew her from, was Bridget Jones's Diary and also Harry Potter. But she... there's something about, I don't understand the high voice. Like, I'm sure she's putting it on a little bit for some of the roles, but she sounds pretty much exactly the same.
I mean, our friend Naomi has a similarly insane voice and just is that way, you
know?
That's
true. But, she is 37 years old. She must be quite old now. Not like quite old, but compared to how she looks in this fucking movie, which is meant to be like a fucking 13-year-old.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Basically that scene was just to tell us, anyway, Moaning Myrtle exists and also they're still working on the Polyjuice potion and we they're talking about, oh, it's been opened again, so it's been opened before. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And then the next scene, we pivot to a dueling lesson or a dueling club, which is spearheaded by...
Gilderoy
Lockhart, who is wearing
you want to take it?
Yeah.
Take a clear run of spearheaded by.
The Dueling Club, which is spearheaded by Gilderoy Lockhart, who is wearing his cape like a fucking nutsack.
Yeah.
He's behaving like an oaf, wearing his cape. He's got it over one shoulder and tied under his opposite armpit.
Yeah.
Like an absolute cunt man.
Gilderoy Lockhart is a very interesting study in making a normal Englishman dress like an anime character. And I
that's
think
interesting. That's
really
a good take.
Succeed. I think that you could equally have gotten a take of Gilderoy Lockhart that's just covered with belts, Kingdom Hearts style.
Yeah. You know? I think actually they sort of do that. I'm willing to be proven wrong, but I'm pretty sure Snape might have an outfit kind of like that later on.
Yeah.
But now thinking of it, I think it actually might be that main snatcher.
Yeah,
somebody
right.
has a ton of belts, but it, you know, it's more like a shirt harness. But
yeah,
it is pretty much that.
They go kind of like little spots of anime, but mainly, yeah, this guy reminds me of how like a character who it does not exist in a normal world wears clothes.
Yeah, it's just fits. Kind of like they're like, let's just do stuff.
Yeah.
With this outfit. Which it is works. What he does. I mean, he's, you know, it's cool.
I mean, it works for the character. To me, I see that, and I'm like, he definitely calls this way of wearing his robe or cape the Lockhart.
Yeah. Yes. And I think, like, it's probably something that, like, you know, he did on the cover of a book. Like, someone suggested it to him, and then he wiped their memory and was like, I made that.
Yes.
But he's wearing his cape like a shithead.
He throws yes. off the cape, and when he does so, he throws it into a crowd of students, and the students are so batshit crazy to grab this cape.
From their teacher.
This is the most sus man alive.
So, like, you have to remove yourself from that situation when you find yourself in it.
Imagine
it doesn't make any sense to be there.
If you were teaching, like, self-defense, which is what he's doing. He's teaching self-defense
he literally is.
At a high school, and he immediately, before doing an exhibition match, just starts throwing his gi into the audience.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh!
Well, you just need to be in some handcuffs, sir.
Yeah, we got to put you in those handcuffs.
Yeah, you're going to have to be in those handcuffs and don't you escape.
Yeah.
Because we noticed that his wrists are very flexible or they could be in a moment's notice.
Yeah, he could easily break his own arms
so,
by operating the bones out of them.
Yeah, so basically he is teaching a dueling club because he thinks it's necessary or, well, you know, to be honest, he's just being a fucking prick and just being like, I'm so good at everything when he doesn't know anything, which is such an interesting position to put yourself in as a guy who knows that they don't know anything. It's like your ego takes over and you're like, I'm going to teach a class on something that I fuck up tremendously every time I try it.
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Okay. Anyway.
As someone who's never known anything and constantly put themselves in positions where they are exposed.
You've been a teacher before.
Yeah.
Like, you've taught things to, like, young people.
Yeah. But I was teaching improv where it's like, that's...
You shouldn't know anything. You should know less than the regular person.
It would have been so much better if I did not know anything.
Yeah.
And I would have gone in there and be like, run while you can.
So basically he's trying to teach his class. He introduces Snape as his assistant,
yep.
which Snape is clearly unhappy with, but has, I think, probably, I would guess the motivation for Snape in this is this guy's a shithead and I'm going to make sure that all of my students know he's a shithead because he will prove it to everybody himself, which
Definitely.
He basically does.
The goal here from Snape is to actually provide an education,
yeah.
I feel like. And he does that by exposing Lockhart and then also guiding Lockhart into providing a lesson plan.
So Snape's dueling stance is amazing.
The little salute that they do to each other by holding their wands right in front of their faces.
Yeah.
And then,
and then whipping them down by their sides,
yeah.
walking away, turning back. Lockhart, I think, kind of holds it out in front of himself, kind of like a kind of regular fighting stance, like if you're doing taekwondo or something. It's kind of like, you know, like normal fighting stance.
Yeah.
Snape, like, puts his arm out in front of him, not the one with the wand, and then curves the other arm around the top of his head, pointing it at Lockhart.
Snape looks like a 2D drawing of someone who you're trying to emphasize. This guy's a wizard.
Yeah. Yes.
And we're doing it. What we have here is a hieroglyph of a goth wizard.
Yeah.
And he's going to try and fuck up this other guy so bad. Yeah, enjoyed this scene. The one note I have for it is Snake fucks him up so bad. And then, of course, they have the start of the self-defense lesson. They got Draco and Harry up there. And these boys, good gracious, they do their weird salute and then back off. But they have a short exchange of dialogue that you sung along to.
Yeah. Do you want to do you want to be Malfoy?
Yeah, sure. Scared, Potter.
You wish.
Okay. Okay. You seem tough.
That's right, I do.
So anyway,
That's not what I wish for.
They count to 3, 2, 1. When they get to one, at 2, Malfoy casts his spell, which is a dog move.
Yeah.
And just like shoots a snake at Harry.
No, he does. He opens with a different thing. He opens with a stun. Harry responds with a stun of his own. Malfoy looks up. Snape is disappointed. And then presumably he just fucking styles his way through this. Like he free associates Snape sad, Snake angry. And then casts a spell that just shoots a fucking snake out of his wand.
A living creature will be reminded.
It brings a life into the world.
Yeah.
That's obviously
his son.
Yes.
That is Malfoy's son.
Malfoy turns one of his sperms into a snake, shoots it towards him.
Yeah.
Then Lockhart shoots it up into the air as his way of dispelling it.
Anyway,
after Harry talks to it using Parseltongue.
Yeah. No. Harry talks to it using Parseltongue after that.
Pardon me.
And then once he's done that, when he is trying to coax the snake into looking at him and not advancing on his fellow classmate, he's talking to it. He is trying to, like, basically talk the snake down. And then Snape comes along and disintegrates the snake, whereupon the boy that the snake was advancing on says, "What are you playing at?" And we see that everybody thinks that Harry was coaxing the snake to attack the boy.
Yeah, right. Which makes sense, I guess. Apparently what he was yelling at the snake was, "Leave him alone. Leave him, leave him," in the script.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And that's basically it. That is where we watched up to. But basically we see that Snape is a very accomplished wizard, not only in potions, which he teaches, but in pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Snape is very, very good at wizard.
An interesting thing that I want to say here is that in the script that I just looked at, and I think in the books, the snake only slumps to the floor. But in the scene that we watched, the snake kind of slumps to the floor, but as it's doing so, it disintegrates from both ends at once.
Burns up, yeah.
So I wonder if that is an effect that they added. I'm just interested to know if that was an effect that was always planned, or if at some point they were like, this is not dramatic enough to be the end of this scene.
I think it's probably that. I think it would have been like, no, we can't do it. It would have been early on. They would have been like, it can't just slump. That's stupid. And we don't care about snakes.
This sucks. And also if it just slumps, that means that we have to like bring the snake back sometime.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
What I would
have
I mean,
knocking on Draco's door with a, I don't know, fishing rod, being not, like, so,
daddy. So, I mean, I guess what I would have done is like trap it in a bubble or some shit, you know, like just put it in an orb and be like, anyway, the snake's not dead, but they do kill the snake.
They do kill the snake.
They do kill Malfoy's son, Draco Malfoy's son. That's pretty much where we watched up to. Basically, my takeaway from this is Snape is very talented. We already knew Lockhart was a fraud shithead, but there you go.
Yeah.
And Harry has exposed himself as a Parselmouth.
I do agree. I do agree. Parselmouth is an interesting way of saying it. I think it's Parseltongue. Is Parselmouth a thing?
No, he's
that's
a Parselmouth. You speak Parseltongue, you are a Parselmouth.
Oh,
fucking
right.
Look it up, bitch.
And I will, because you've of course addressed me by the name that I enjoy being called.
Your Christian name.
Bitch.
Yeah.
It is the language of serpents, and it's known as a Parselmouth. Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
It's weird that it's almost exclusively a hereditary trait.
Yeah, although it does seem to also be an MTD, a magically transmitted disease. When you get a scar from a magic, you can also be a snake guy.
Dude, if I had like a fancy skill like that, I would just truck myself around giving people little scars.
You'd be a snake voice salesman.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, it's already to do with snakes.
Yeah. Hey, you ever wanted to hear something say, boy, am I low to the ground, 1,000 times a day? You'll love being a parcel mouth.
I'm so slippery.
Hello, Bitey here.
No legs, no legs, no legs, no, no legs, legs, no legs.
That's the sound of the reptile wing at the zoo waking up.
Oh, fuck. So, that's
Funko
pretty much
Funko Watch.
Funko Watch.
Funko. Watch. Funko Watch. Yeah, it's Funko Watch. Funko Watch. It's Funko Watch.
So, we got some Funkos this time, Demi. We
got
one belated Funko.
Ooh!
One belated Funko, which is a Draco Malfoy Quidditch. Which is Draco holding a broom. That, of course, wasn't covered by me, but he does appear in this, but I should have flagged that in last episode's Funko Watch.
I always I'm like, you could have done more, you know, and I know you're already doing so much with the immense amount of plastic you're using on those gigantic heads, but I'm like, you know, he should, like, have a broom and also, like, look upset and be holding his arm or some shit because, like, he's a little wimp.
It's
you know?
Hard for him to look upset is the problem because, again, he just doesn't have much facial expression.
Yeah, and also, like, they just have beady eyes.
Yeah.
So there's not really much to do.
The Cedric Diggory Funko Pop does look like Robert Pattinson. They've really nailed his hair.
Really?
Yeah, do you want to see?
Well, yeah, it's, I mean, it's pretty specific hair, I guess.
I just saw this on the way to, you know, today's Funko Watch update.
And it's like tussled, right? It's just like tussled hair.
Yeah, but honestly, look at this and say it's like, that looks like Robert Pattinson.
Kind of. His hair's a bit light there, though. I guess maybe it was kind of the way that they did it in the movies. I guess it looks like Robert Pattinson.
Anyway, let's return to Funko Watch present, not the promises of Funko Watch future.
Funko
I'm so
Watch
sorry.
Is a present to me.
Good.
A gift.
A gift. A Much gift. Like Funkos are to the children of not quite understanding grandmothers all over the nation. Moaning Myrtle has a translucent pop vinyl, a very rare one, in fact. Dobby,
pop vinyl is basically a Funko.
Yes, a Funko Pop, sorry.
They're like the same thing, but they're not, right?
I said pop vinyl. I should have said just Funko.
So it's not a pop vinyl.
I can't emphasize enough. I don't care to learn. So we got it. Moaning Myrtle has a translucent Funko Pop. Dobby has a Funko. Dobby snapping his fingers is also a Funko. So you got two separate Funkos there.
You just do one. You just do the one with the snappy fingy.
No, but then you can look back and forth between them and it's like a little animation for you.
Yeah.
If you spin your head real quick.
Yeah, it's like you're turning your head into a cartoon.
Yeah. Harry Potter pajamas / broken arm is a Funko, which references this occurrence and, in fact, this specific night in the hospital wing.
So they have pajamas and broken arm.
Yeah,
but
arm
they don't have that. But they don't have just pajamas, Harry. Let's look it up.
Harry,
Tom's looking it up.
Harry Potter pajamas Funko. No, they don't. The closest thing they have is a Funko that we've already seen, Demi.
Oh,
a super retroactive Funko watch. Harry Potter in pajamas. With the invisibility cloak.
Wow. That's fine.
Yeah, it's all fine.
That's crazy to me that they can have Dobby and Dobby snapping fingers and not Harry Potter pajamas broken arm and Harry Potter pajama not broken.
Malene.
Malene.
I think that it's probably because they're fine with you using your shaking head to pretend that Dobby is snapping his fingers, but if you're using your shaking head to pretend that Harry is breaking and healing his arm and re-breaking it, they don't want you hurting Harry.
Hurt him, yeah.
Also, we have Hermione Granger with cauldron. That's a new Funko. And Professor McGonagall.
Oh, I'd love to see her Funko, please. Does she have a hat on?
She does indeed.
Yes, yes, yes. Is it the one without the brim, but it is a pointy hat?
What I will say is that, let me look at...
Did we see Bedtime McGonagall in a previous Funko watch?
We've had the McGonagalls before, I feel like.
But that doesn't look like McGonagall to me. That one, that green hat McGonagall looks exactly like McGonagall. The other one is fucking lazy and is nothing.
Yeah, right.
The green hat one because it's got the big feather that I recognize.
I see.
About her.
Well, anyway, they're available. And, of course, that brings this edition of Funko Watch up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Funkos, including that late edition Funko Watch from Draco Malfoy Quidditch.
Yeah. So, that's Funko Watch. Thank you so much for bringing it to us, Tom.
Isn't it really, every time I do it now, I'm regretting it because it does make me feel anxious about the amount of plastic we're clogging the earth with.
Literally, I was thinking the exact same thing. And it is awful and disgusting.
Yeah.
So I guess I want to talk about our highlights. Do you have a highlight for this section of the movie, Tom?
I do indeed. And it is one word, and that word is hello.
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 It's me.
It's so good.
I've been wondering. I don't know the words to that song.
All this time you and I should go over. I'm Adele.
Everything.
Everything.
I locked you out of that wall that you wanted to run into. And I made that ball hurt you. I wanted to crush your penis, but you were too quick for moo. Moo is how I like to say me. I've got the biggest eyeballs you've seen. My name, of course, is Dobby.
That's Dobby.
So, yeah, hello is a beautiful highlight. I think my highlight is probably, gosh, it's hot. This is gross, but I really like seeing Dobby blow his nose.
Yeah.
Like because he blows it into his fucking pillowcase shirt, and it sounds wet when he lets it touch his skin again, and I'm like,
yeah.
Dobby, you don't do that. Don't do that.
With the at the risk of going into like legit film discussion, the CGI of Dobby and the way they've managed to figure out his rigging, because like Daniel Radcliffe is a great actor.
He's watching just an orange tennis ball on a stick.
And things like them rigging him to Daniel Radcliffe's hands and doing it convincingly. I don't know. It's so impressive to me, especially when you figure that kind of the most like key CGI from the last film was, you know, like the weird PlayStation 1 Harry that was present for the stunt scenes. I guess the troll was kind of the centerpiece.
Troll,
and
yeah,
Voldemort.
Definitely. And Volgo.
But I really think Dobby looks fantastic.
I think he does
and
too.
His,
and
the
I
acting
actually,
is great.
I think it was a mistake to make him less wrinkly in the later movies as well. That's how far I'll go. But one great thing that Dobby did as well after he blows his nose is when he jumps off of Harry's bed, he kind of does it in a way where you're like, are you trying to hurt yourself? I know sometimes
he
you are.
He slips on his little hiney.
He like jumps down onto his feet and goes straight onto his butthole.
It's like something that if you saw it in a skateboard bail video, you'd be like, ooh, because that would hurt your
tailbone
so hard.
Yes. So anyway, I think
yours is Dobby blowing his nose.
Dobby blowing
his
nose and landed on his little tuchus.
Did I ever tell you about how my friend was at a bar once and they saw a woman, a very drunk woman, look from side to side and then just open her, like, pick up her dress and just vomit into her cleavage?
Well, she hit a bucket in those titties, you know?
Yeah.
That's where you do it.
That's how it works.
That's fucking crazy.
It's so good.
Oh, man. And she's like, my water broke.
What are we?
I have to have my yucky baby.
I would say that I have no strong feelings about Harry Potter.
I also have no strong feelings about Harry Potter at the end of this episode, Tom.
We support our friends in the trans community.
Yep, fuck bless J.K. Rowling for your opinions. But yeah, so this fucking movie franchise is a mess.
But I think it is an incredible triumph of
CGI.
It is very impressive.
It is impressive.
And the kids in it are fucking great.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.